Good morning and bless your hearts. Today is Sunday, May the 6th, 2018. We're gathered here at the chapel to talk about our loving Lord's love. People are very interested today in checking their DNA, trying to look back on their family heritage to see what happened back years ago. But when you're born into a family, how long are you part of that family?
Always. Correct.
80, 900 years.
At least until you die, because you're born of corruptible seed. But what Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, it tells us this great truth. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides, how long?
Forever.
Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withers and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. I wanted to take you in and look at some records in regards to how people are. Humans are humans. They're fallible. They make mistakes. They do silly things. They have sometimes great aspirations, but without the Spirit of God, they don't have the equipment to carry out those great and wonderful things. That's why we need to be born again of incorruptible seed. Let's look at John chapter 13, verse 34. And this is around the time of Jesus' Last Supper with his disciples. 13 verse... Is it 34? 34. Connie, would you read it, please?
Is it a new commandment? Is that the one
you're... Yeah.
Okay. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another.
That's great. See, our family history is a history of love. The love of God, the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love unto all the saints. It's a history of love. If we search back, we should search back with love and the idea of love and looking at things with love. Let's go to Luke chapter 6. It's a great record. This is what we are to do. Luke chapter 6. Verse 35. But love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be the sons of the Most High, for he is kind unto the unthankful and even the evil. Verse 27. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you. And then in Matthew 5, verse 44, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Always need a reminder of those things. Romans chapter 12, verse 14. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Now let's go to Luke chapter 22. I want to take you through a little bit of the Last Supper that Jesus spent with his disciples. And if this is your last supper with them, you're probably going to have some important things to tell them. Luke 22, starting in verse 31. Or Luke 6, starting Luke 22, starting in verse 1. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. We all come under attacks from Satan. He is just the opposite of God. He is not love, he is anti-love. He's everything love is not. And he attacks us, and he attacks us whether you're good as gold or whether you're rotten as an old tomato sitting in the sun. And what does he desire? To have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Verse 32, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, when you get born again, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. Well, I mean, people are people. And before they're born again, they really don't have the ability to do things. And their mouth writes checks that their flesh does not have the ability to pay. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. The word deny means, it's the Greek word apernaomai. And it means have no connection, no affiliation with, not an acquaintance of. And thrice is three times. And in another record it says, twice thou shalt deny me thrice. And twice means once and again. If you go through the records in each gospel and keep track of who's involved, where they are, and what is said, I think you may come out with the same conclusion. I'm certain Peter will be in the gathering together when Christ returns for us, but he and us will be forever with the Lord. Both he and us will be forever with the Lord. Before we track in the denials, I'm not going to go through all the denials, but I did want to go through one with you. I did want to look at a progression leading up to the incidents we want to read about. In Luke 22:14, it says it's the Last Supper, not the Passover. And Jesus talks to them about the communion. He talks about a betrayer. And he talks about his end, his coming end. In Luke 22, verse 23, they're talking about he had started the communion with them, and then talked about the betray. He talks about the betrayer, and in verse 23, it says, "Then they began to question among themselves which of them it is who would do this thing." Now there were also a dispute among them as to which of them should be considered the greatest. Well, that's just how the human mind just flips. One minute you're talking about a betrayer and everybody's so concerned. Is it me? Tap him on the shoulder. Ask, is it me? Is it me? You know, just no confidence whatsoever. And the next thing you know, I'm probably above all these other jack-o'-lanterns here. I'm probably higher than all these other guys. So it's interesting to me how the human mind flips. One minute you're so concerned. Is it me? Am I going to blow it that bad and become a betrayer of my Lord? And then the next minute, I'm probably the greatest of all of us. Let's go to verse 17. I think we read that. They bounce around until they finally settle down and get born again. And then they have something in them that can change their life and really help get them on a strong, consistent path. The next thing, they finish the dinner and then Jesus washes his disciples' feet. And then let's go to John chapter 13. Now, when you're going to study the Word, one of the things that will help you is to you want to keep track of who, what, where, when, and what time. And if you get a piece of paper and you make columns for each one, you can start to work some of these things through. And if you do, so he talks about all these different things. Let's go to John 13. Gospel of John. It says, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew his hour had come, that he should depart from the world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them how long?
Until the end.
And the supper being ended, so this is the Last Supper. This is not the Passover. It says very clearly, now before the feast of Passover, Jesus knew. And he's there to have supper. And supper being ended, the devil having put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, and that he had come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and layeth aside his garment, and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then come he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And then he wants to go overboard. let's really do the job on this. Jesus said to him, He that is washed need not to be saved to wash his feet, needeth not save to wash his feet, but he is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. Verse 11, For he knew who should betray him, therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. So there was one dirty character in there. And I think last time we talked, or one of the times when we were doing a teaching, I talked about, you know, what would you think about hanging a picture of Beelzebub in the temple? You wouldn't do that. So, so after he had washed their feet and had taken his garment and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done for you? You call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you ought also to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done. Remember, he had told him, the commandment is that you love one another even as I have loved you.
Right.
Well, here's a demonstration of it. And if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Let's go to chapter 18. Verse 1. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where there was a garden which he and his disciples So the supper guests, they go to the garden, and he gets arrested there. Judas leads them to him, and he gets arrested there. And the supper guests scatter, and a few follow at a distance. And Peter is where, you know, he's following along behind, trying to watch what's going on. And he stops at the entry door. And there's another disciple that knew Ananias, who was the high priest. And he went in and talked with a maid that was at the door to see if he could get Peter in. And she came and told another maid who was at the entry door about Peter. And as Peter goes in, the damsel thinks she recognizes Peter as a disciple. And Peter claims he doesn't know or have any affiliation with Jesus. Finally, he sees Jesus all battered. And there's other records. When you go through all the Gospels and you put them all together, he winds up denying Jesus 6 times. And you have to keep track of who's there and who's asking and where they are and what's going on and try and get the order of it. But it must have been a cold night, because several times he wandered over to the fire, and when he wandered to the fire, in the fire there was enough light for them to look at him and say, aren't you one of the disciples? And Peter denies again. Finally, he sees Jesus all battered from the enhanced interrogation techniques that they were using, both Ananias' soldiers as well as Caiaphas' soldiers. There were two high priests at that time. There's supposed to only be one, but that year there were two, Ananias and Caiaphas, who was his son-in-law. And Ananias was chosen by the priest to be the high priest, but Caiaphas was chosen by the Romans because he kind of went along with Roman law and all this other stuff, and he used his position that way. So they were trying to work the people over both ways, both through the religious side and also through the laws and things. And Peter's eyes for a moment, Jesus' eyes for a moment meet Peter's, and Peter does his best impression of a natural man, and he starts cursing up a storm and denying anything about Jesus. And he goes out into the night weeping bitterly, which is a figure of speech. He had terrible grief, and he went out into the night. So when we come to the final chapter of John, John 21, I want to look at this and see how Jesus responds and how he handles Peter. Because he did say, if any man deny me before men, I'll deny them before my Father. So what's going to happen to Peter? It's a good question. John chapter 21. I'm almost there. John 21, verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and in the way he showed himself to Simon Peter. Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. They said to him, We are going with you. They went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, Children, have you any food? They answered him, No. And he said, Cast the net onto the port side of the boat, or starboard side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fishes. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Simon, It's the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put off his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in a little boat, for they were not far from land, and about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. Then as soon as they come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and the fish laid on it, and bread. And Jesus said unto them, Bring some of the fish which ye have caught. Simon Peter went up and dragged the land full of large fish, 153. And although they were so many, the net was not broken. Jesus said unto them, Come eat and drink. Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, Who are you? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then came and took the bread and fish, and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. This is now the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. So when he had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? Looking at the fish. He said to him, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said unto him, Feed my lambs. He said unto him a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And he said unto him, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, Tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, Simon. Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he had said to him the third time, Do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said unto him, Feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say unto you, when you were young, you girded yourself and walked whither you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hand, and another will gird thee and carry thee whither you do not wish. This he spoke, signifying by how he would glorify him through his death. How he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, Follow me. So here's Peter, who's denied Jesus how many times?
Six
times. And they meet up together, and he's so loving and so kind to Peter. Feed my sheep, feed my lambs, feed my flock. Feed the flock of God. You would think he would say, You're fired. I don't want anything to do with you. You denied me, I'm going to deny you. But he didn't. And God had to be right there, because it's God's choice who's going to lead his flock. And, you know, that's a responsibility that is up to God. So if you know, we were going to lose our salvation, Peter would have lost his. You know, people do things sometimes because they're upset, and they just say something which they don't really mean. That's it, I quit. I'm never going to go do this again. I will never share with the ministry. I'll never do anything like that again. And they make all these statements and sayings. But when you're born again, when you're older, then somebody else is going to lead you where you would not go, because it's the Spirit of God at work within you to will and to do of his good pleasure. And look how lovingly Jesus brought Peter back. He asked Peter to be a shepherd of the flock of God. Peter's still human, typically, as humans are. And then he says, Well, what about that guy over there? What's his responsibility going to be? Verse 21. We'll start from verse 20. Then Peter, turning around, saw a disciple whom Jesus loved following, who also had leaned on his breast at the supper, and said, Lord, who is the one who betrays you? Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, But Lord, what about this man? Jesus said unto him, If I will that he remain till I come, what's that to you? You follow me. You got a responsibility. You going to follow through on it? Do it. Just do what I told you to do. But we still have another situation to deal with, which is the betrayer. And that we'll get some information from Acts that'll help us to understand some things about that. In Acts chapter 1, verse 1, it says, The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus both began to do and to teach until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen. How many apostles did he choose?
12.
So who is he speaking to?
The 12.
So who's got to be there?
Judas.
Yeah. To whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering, by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So none of them are out of it in regard to the kingdom of God. Not even Judas. If you look at Luke chapter 6, verses 12 through, and especially verse 16, you'll see who the disciples he had chosen, and you'll see Judas, who betrayed him, is listed there. Then in Acts chapter 1, verse 4, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. So who's standing there listening?
Judas.
And what's the instruction?
To depart not from Jerusalem, but
wait
for the promise.
Wait there or tarry in Jerusalem for the promise of the Father. So can Judas get born again?
Yes.
He could have. But he decided not to be a part of that. In verse 14, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with the brethren. And verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the ends of the earth. Who's that offer made to?
Everyone.
All 12, but it has to include who?
Judas.
The betrayer. Yeah. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. What love the Lord Jesus Christ had, and what love God had to send the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord Jesus Christ to finish the work that God had given to him. And after that, after the day of Pentecost, and on the day of Pentecost, when they spoke in tongues and received the gift of Holy Spirit, then Peter stood with the 11, and he's very bold. Ye men of Judea, hear, listen to me. Hear these words. And then it's great to work through some of these things. I hope you really understand that you might have said something wrong or made something rash, made a rash statement out of your mouth, but that doesn't mean that you're no longer valuable to God, and that he doesn't love you anymore. So I want to share with you today. So bless your hearts.